I felt a little bit like Cate Blanchett there in Elizabeth I, you know, when she's sitting at, I think it's the very end of the throne, and they're all coming and they're putting on the face and then bringing the crown and the robes. It's a very different experience sitting up here in a chair with all these accoutrements. You know, it's not... Well, we'll talk more about that, but it's very different than sitting on a cushion. And it can't be helped. So I wonder how you're all doing on this fifth day of our 10-day session. We're at the hump now. This is a wonderful, wonderful opportunity to really go deeper into our practice, to not kind of coast, but now we're at the really kind of the crux of it. This is a great moment to go much deeper. So every year this session incites an interesting conflict for me. Part of me really looks forward to being here up at the Grail. Good morning. Thank you so much for your hospitality again. And part of me dreads it. You know, I look forward to getting out of the city. I look forward to the opportunity to stop running and slow down and to quiet the mind and to still the body. And I dread leaving Manhattan. I dread the thought of not running, of slowing down, of trying to quiet the mind and still the body. That's not my... mode. I'm go, 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 constantly. So consequently, for the first 3 days here, Roshi allowed me to sleep at every possible moment that I could. You know, so every time I got an opportunity, I slept. And I think I finally arrived yesterday. So I don't realize how dog tired I am until I get here. And then I stop. Slowly, I get into it. And by the second or third week, I'm fully here. So by the last session, I'm ready to stay for another month. I miss the sounds of Manhattan. I miss the sirens and the street noise, and I miss the cacophonous sounds outside our Zendo on Broadway. And I can't sleep here at night without my earplugs. Because the crickets and the cicadas, I'm sorry, they drive me insane. Yeah. I'm an inner city kid, or was. Now I'm an inner city senior, almost. and that's not how I grew up. You know, I think it's kind of disturbing. Those creepy things in the trees making those noises, don't like it. So to spend a month in the Hudson Valley with that racket and no air conditioning, which we've done now for the last 11 years, seems rather odd. Not to mention the fact that we just bought this fabulous new air conditioner for the apartment in the city, like top of the line, finally gave in to the American way and bought a really good air conditioner. And I'm loving it. Here's a quote from Jane Austen. What dreadful hot weather we have. It keeps me in a state of continual inelegance. What dreadful, if you get a laugh, do it twice. What dreadful hot weather we have. It keeps me in a continual state of inelegance. So imagine poor Jane back in the late 1700s in her country house in mid-August, sitting around in all those clothes, her knickers, her petticoats, corset, and her frock, and her shawl, and my knickers, and my petticoat, and my frock, my corset, which is like my back brace, and my shawl. You know, let's defile this right now. My shawl, right? Hot. Hot, hot. We have an inkling of what she was feeling back there in the 1700s. So on Saturday, on our first full day of sitting, I'm sitting over there, and it was in the 90s, if you remember. And it's not even noon, and I was soaked through, you know, really uncomfortable. I think I was wearing my juban, my karomo, everything was just sopping. And I was thinking, what am I doing here? This is crazy. My little dragon came out. It wasn't so small. It was like, what are you doing? I want to go home. I want to be cool. I want to be in the air conditioning. I don't want to be here baking. I want something different to this. Right? And then a bead of sweat somewhere to the left of my right shoulder blade popped out. Whatever sweat does, popped out, appeared, and started to slowly drip down my back. And it was actually cool. It was actually felt like a healing kind of salve. And suddenly, the body and the mind began to slow down because I felt like I'm alive. This is my life. I'm not sitting in air conditioning right now in the city. This is my life right here. And this little tiny bead of sweat reminded me that actually I have a life. Our study text this year is Dogen's Fukan Sazengi, or The Way of Zen, recommended to everyone. Here is a line from the text. When you practice wholeheartedly, it is truly the practice of the way. Practice enlightenment, or as Roshi put it in her talk, practice awakening, cannot be defiled. Practice awakening cannot be defiled. So I'd like to talk about wholehearted practice that cannot be defiled, and the way of inelegance. On meditation, Dogen instructs us to use a thick zabuton, the zafu placed on it. You may sit in full or half lotus. Dogen probably didn't have arthritic knees. I find it almost impossible that I'm at the age where I'm suffering with arthritis in both knees. And as a consequence, I've had surgery on both knees. And one knee was a success, the other one not so much. So actually I'm in constant pain right now. So unless I keep up the regimen of ice packs and elevate my legs, and as the doctor says, I leave only when the pain is intolerable, it's really uncomfortable. I think it's like karmic payback for all my misdeeds on the disco dance floors. But I'm not getting around as much as I used to. So I sit in a chair. Right? Maybe not terribly elegant. This is what I got. I was never able to sit in the lotus position or the half lotus position. when I came to this practice later in life, I sat Cesar, a couple of people doing this on their bench or on the cushions, and that worked for me for a long time, until a couple of years ago. So here I am in this chair. Actually, you would think that someone would design a really cool Zazen chair, right? Functional Zazen chair. Get on it, Dojin. So am I defiling the form? Looking around, everybody sitting in there. Zafus, all nice and upright. And unless I keep my mind to it, I'm like this. No. I sit upright. I focus on my breath. And make the best effort to obtain the way, as Dogen tells us. I sit upright in my chair and count my breath. For the longest time, I was really embarrassed about having to sit in a chair, you know, because I'm not Shakyamuni or Sting, you know, can sit there beautifully like this. And no matter how many times Roshi said, Chodo, sit in a chair, right? Well, my doctor said, Chodo, sit in the bloody chair and give your knees a rest, and maybe in a year you'll be able to sit back on the cushion. A year? What, are you crazy? I want it now. Miyoko Sensei talked about the significance of posture during Zazen. So take advantage of the Sangha members here who are proficient, who are expert in the way of the body. We have masseuse therapists, we have yoga teachers, we have a couple of people here that could really help us with our posture. So if you find yourself sitting with a lot of pain, maybe a simple adjustment would help you. So ask a monitor who can help you. And maybe if you don't want to do it in the Zendo when there's people here because you're embarrassed, you could have a little private 5 minutes, right? Don't sit here for the next 5 days saying, I hate this place, I'm in so much pain, I want to go home. Do something about it. Take control of your life. Or not. This is the perfect opportunity to do that, right? Take care of yourself while you're here. Ryotan Sensei reminded us of Dogen's remarks on the importance of Ango, this period that we're in. The commitment to intensified practice, and that we must treat our life with great importance. Ryo instructs us to bring, I love this, our attention and our appreciation, our tenderness and our reverence, our humor and our grittiness, to each blessed moment of our life. And I would like to add to that, that sometimes a little irreverence can be a good thing too. Time degree condition. It stops us getting really holy. You know, really holy. Someone said to me a while back, Chodo, you're the worst shuso I've ever met. I was probably having a Chodo dance moment, while perhaps they were having a holy moment. Anyway, I hope that's still true for them. So So it's not only about the effort we put into our practice while we're here at the Grail, but also when we leave here. Every single moment, as Ryo pointed out again, as Dogen tells us, every single moment is an opportunity, a moment of practice. Roshi's told us each evening, whether we're walking, eating, sleeping, these are moments of practice. When we're working, wherever we work, we can be in our place of practice. It can be the Zendo. It can be our Zendo wherever we are. So I'm not able to sit with you in an elegant lotus position. I could hold your hair back while you're throwing up. I can hold your hand while you're dying. I might have to sit on the bed with you or get down on the floor. Might not look terribly elegant, but I'll be fully with you in that moment. For as long as need be. This too is the form that cannot be defiled. Sitting on a bed, which is what few of us do in this, although HIPAA tells us we shouldn't sit on a bed, but a few of us who are chaplains and take care of the dying here, sometimes we do that. Sometimes we even get into bed with someone that's dying. Is that defiling the form? I don't think so. So there are two things in life that fill me with dread. One of them is a dentist. The other is Orioki. So I used to be a maitre d' at this really swanky restaurant in New York City. Now I can carry 7 plates on one arm. I can choreograph a room with 100 people with my eyes closed. But the thought of Orioki fills me with such dread. There's like this little oni sitting on my shoulder ready to make me screw it up at every moment. Take yesterday, for instance. At lunch, I'm getting kind of quite relaxed about the whole thing. I have Bridget on one side of me, and I think it was Adeziji or Anzan on the other side, or it might have been Yushin. So I'm kind of relaxed. Part of me thinks, well, you know, Bridget's not quite sure what she's doing, so I look good, right? No matter what I do, no one's going to know, because, you know, I've been around. So the whole thing's going quite well, and I open my stuff, and suddenly the scraper somehow somersaults from my lap and lands on, thank God, on the table. But then halfway through the lunch, you know, mysteriously and without any effort whatsoever, this meatball jumps out of my bowl and onto the Zabaton. I mean, all with no help from me. It just... So I could have sat there totally mortified, but we do chant the Buddhas, and Avalokiteshvara was there to come to my rescue, as if on winged feet. Seiki whooshes into the Zendo, kneels down in front of me, mops up the errant tomato sauce, picks up the meatball. I said, it's okay, pop it back in the bowl. Popped it back in the second bowl. And that was it. And it was all like in beautiful, elegant movements. This talk is being recorded, so I should say the meatball was made of tofu. And what about what about the elegant food so far? Eh? Thank you to our Tenzos. Ocean is, I don't know if I should, it's probably not my place to tell you, but Ocean's not here right now. He will be back. He's gone into the city for the afternoon, and our thoughts are with Ocean right now. Thank you, Shusos, and Tenzos, sorry. Our Shuso this year is Seizan. Seizan's eyesight is failing him. And so when he reads, he has to get very close up to the paper. With his magnifying glass. Sometimes, for me, it's quite difficult to observe. Because I don't want that to happen to me. Right? Not very elegant at all. Our Shuso. Trying to read the names. Yesterday, at the beginning of Samu practice, with magnifying glass in his hand, his head tilted, and squinting, he read the work assignments. And in that southern drawl, he announced, Seiki, Shokan, Bokushu, Ikai, Susanna. Except he said it with a southern drawl. Susanna. You have done such a beautiful job serving us over the past few days. Your work practice is to rest. How unselfishly elegant is that? So Dogen is considered the greatest religious figure and creative thinker in Japanese history. We've heard from both Ryotan Sensei and from Koshin on some of his accomplishments, from translating and writing seminal texts for the Soto school, to building an incredible temple north of Kyoto in the Fukui prefecture. The temple is named Eiheiji. It's kind of like the Vatican for Zennius. It's an enormous structure and houses hundreds of monks. Some of us visited there a few years ago. Seicho was with us, Koshin. We were on a pilgrimage for Dogen's 750th birthday. And this place is enormous. Roshi was there during a training period in Japan. So, I mean, it's incredible. It's a huge structure. I mean, it's really imposing, and these monks are all incredibly put together, and the form is like within the form, within the form, within the form. It's like outrageous. I mean, it's just they all move just in one line. You know, it's so beautiful. So here's my question. So at the front of Eiheiji, this monument, this testament to Zen practice, as you enter, there's this huge reception area. It's like a hotel lobby in Disneyland. And there's miles and miles of counters, and there's souvenirs and gift shops, and there's like all these little old ladies behind the counters, and maybe they're the mothers of some of the monks, and there's monks behind the counters, and there's, it's like crazy. You get off the bus, wherever, however you got there, and suddenly, I mean, you walk into these grounds and you see the temple, and then you see you're in this lobby, and you're like, oh my God, where is this? What's going on? So my question is, I wonder, would Dogen turn in his grave? This defilement of his monument, Eiheiji. Or would he look at this as a manifestation of the Dharma? This is how, in part, this structure will survive. By bringing tourists, pilgrims, monks from all over the country, in fact, from all over the world, to practice, to spend money, to keep this place going. Seems pretty good to me. I think you'd be kind of happy. I think you'd say, this is it. Skillful means. Let's keep the doors open. So as we continue to session over the next days, please take the opportunity to really deepen your practice. Remember, time swiftly passes by, and we have plenty of opportunities to defile the undefilable practice that we're engaged in. I'd like to finish with this poem by Elizabeth Maua Taylor. August rushes by like a desert rainfall, a flood of frenzied upheaval, expected but still catching me unprepared, like a match flame bursting on the scene, heat and haze of crimson sunsets, like a dream of moon and dark barely recalled. A moment, shadows caught in a blink, like a quick kiss. One wishes for more, but it suddenly turns to leave, dragging summer away.